This is fine. This is a poor substitute for therapy, but an excellent substitute for other podcasts.
We're not like other podcasts.
Join us as we find the answers to the universe's biggest questions like, is butter a carb? Does crying burn calories? And what the fuck am I doing with my life? We're here to be your part-time therapist, astrologer, concierge doctor, and fairy godmother. Do you need someone to validate you today? Cool. Come on in. We're fine. This is fine. Happy February, y'all. Sending big bisous from Paris, where Stella and I experienced our first snowy days in January. Seriously magical. Life is good over here. La vie est belle. Except for my raspy voice today, I don't know what's going on with that, so thank you for bearing with me. But on that note of life being beautiful in Paris, we are continuing our American in Paris / Expat in Paris series with Jasmine Breakstone from Boston. Jazz, as I call her, is a marketing girly in her corporate career, but in the process of becoming an integrative mind-body-spirit coach. And let me tell you, she is so good at it. She's been leading these lunar ceremonies here in Paris for the woo-woo community, and it has been so amazing to see her follow that passion. She is so made for this. Jasmine came here for her studies, and she didn't plan on moving to France, nor did she speak French when she arrived. She also has a unique POV as a sober curious girly in her alcohol-free era, living in a culture that has a heavy emphasis on alcohol. So we will get to that in the conversation. Let's get into it. Jasmine, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for coming to our janky little fake studio.
Oh my God, no, I love it. Thank you so much for having me. It's of very course. Pink yeah. and bright from like my apartment.
I love your apartment.
It's cozy, but it's dark.
Yeah, I mean, I've only been there at nighttime, so I can only agree.
Doesn't get any better, much better in the daytime. But
well, thanks for being here. I'm hoping we can channel like... I'm like, oh no, my studio's in my apartment, but maybe it's like l'appartement Cézanne, like,
oh, ouais. Chic. No, and diptyque and l'odorée and oh like all that.
I did make you l'odorée tea and there is a diptyque candle.
Yeah, and it's very just, oh, it's so cozy.
Thank you.
I love it here.
Well, I hope everyone listening is feeling cozy right now too.
Yeah, with your l'odorée tea.
Yeah, make some tea. Oh, this is a good
Light
episode.
Light a candle.
Yeah, okay, if you can't tell already, Jasmine's very like spiritual witchy vibes, just like your girl. So... this is going to be a fun episode of our expat series. We're going to talk about Jazzy's journey.
Jazzy's juicy journey.
Oh my God, I love this for you. Okay, we'll explain juicy in a minute as well. But first of all, thank you for being here. Everyone listening, get nice and cozy. We're going to have a fun little Parisian episode today. Jazz.
Yeah, hey.
Do you want to talk about where you're from and how you got here?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Boston, Massachusetts.
What up, Boston? I don't know why I said
Boston?
That.
Bean town. I came to Paris about 2.5 years ago. I graduated my bachelor's undergrad in 2020, so right at the beginning of COVID, and I had to move back to Boston. And I graduated in my living room.
Of course.
Yes, yeah. Naturally, through my hat. My dad caught it. And it was a great little moment.
Wait, that's so
yeah,
COVID
it was cute.
And so
it was
sad.
Cute. It was
okay, I'm glad you thought it was cute. I'm like, oh no, you didn't get your like cap toss.
I got it with my master's, so that was really awesome. Yeah.
We'll get to that
but,
too.
Yeah, so full circle. And right before COVID happened, I actually told my parents I wanted to travel and teach English abroad in Vietnam.
Okay.
And so this was February 2020. And of course, they were super shell-shocked when to hear this from me.
Right.
And COVID happens. I moved back to Boston and I was just, I had this desire to travel and see the world and live abroad. I studied abroad in Prague in my junior year of college. And it was just a really transformative experience. And to be in a city, a melting pot of people and cultures and languages, that was super attractive to me. And I didn't yet know what I wanted to do post-grad. So my parents really wanted to be supportive, but they were just like, why don't you go get your master's? Go get your master's. And living in Boston, there's a ton of great universities.
Yeah, of course. It's like the
so,
Mecca.
Yeah, exactly. Like 2 mile radius, you have 20 different top universities in the world.
Right.
But that just, I mean, I didn't love school and I didn't really want any of the programs I looked at weren't enticing, and I would have been in thousands and thousands of dollars college debt.
Or, oh my God.
I mean,
tens of thousands.
University, yeah.
Yeah.
So, kind of behind their backs, I applied to grad school in many cities in Europe, London, Amsterdam, Madrid, a few places in Portugal, and Paris. And I visited Paris when I was studying abroad, spent my 21st birthday here with my parents, and it was just such a magical moment for me in turning 21 and living, you know, essentially by myself in a different country and meeting my parents and having this magical experience in this incredible city. And I was the first university I got into, and I just knew in that moment I had to come.
You're like, it's Paris, of course.
Yeah, exactly. So it took me some time to get here. I originally got in January of 2021, but when Biden got into office, he closed all the borders, right. And it was really next to impossible to get a visa to France. So I delayed till September of 2021, and I arrived September 10th, 2021, and I've been here ever since.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking, oh my God, I was here November 2021.
Oh my gosh.
We could have run into each other.
Wait, why didn't we?
I know. And then I was here again in 2022, and we still didn't run into each other.
Like, it's still baffling how it was only a few weeks ago that we really, I mean, yeah. 2 months ago.
Yeah. I was like, wait, the passage okay, of time met, is such
we
a
met
trip.
2 months ago.
Yeah. At the bar crawl, right?
Yeah, okay. At the bar crawl. Another
classic.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Another pivotal moment in my life.
Yeah.
That bar crawl.
Yeah, it happened. What was it? It was the moon in Cancer in our 11th house of like friendship, like communities and friends. And Venus was conjunct. No. Something happened.
Venus had a moment.
It was like something happened. I think Venus was on your ascendant, my sun, or something like
something like that.
Yeah.
And we met. Our eyes locked at the bar.
It was, of course, we looked up like that. The chart of like the moment we met.
Literally. I think it's been a really positive ripple. And I think both of our lives, and there's so many similarities between the two of us.
Yeah.
And
both Virgo ascendants, naturally.
For sure.
For sure.
But it's so cool to have this friendship, you know, unfold and your point in Paris and, you know, the journey that you're on. And
season
also,
one.
Yeah. And I'm in season three.
Yeah.
So it's crazy and really just rewarding or fulfilling almost to have this relationship
enriching.
Unfold. Yeah. Enriching. That's a great word.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
But I love that your POV of getting here wasn't like, oh, I had Paris posters in my bedroom and I studied French my whole life. Like, that's like, I think what a lot of people anticipate when they think about like an American moving to Paris, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy when I did move here to then have moments of my childhood and my past really reflect Paris almost.
Interesting.
You know, highlighting moments where, you know, so the reason why my 21st birthday was a big moment for me and to have it in Paris is that I'm actually named after jazz music. So jazz is sort of my nickname. And I grew up listening to a lot of jazz music. And I think I grew up with this idea that, you know, Paris is a place for jazz and the sort of music and the piano and the saxophone and the trumpet and street buskers and all this stuff. Yeah. And there's this Sarah Vaughan song called April in Paris. And I was born in April. My birthday is April 20th. And to come in April on my 21st birthday with my parents in Paris was just sort of this, I mean, Pisces Venus, it totally was like a movie scene.
Totally.
And it was just, it was beautiful and it was wonderful. And what's crazy is that 2019 Paris is so different from 2021 Paris,
totally.
I mean, post-COVID. And now 2023, it's, I mean, it's so...
It's a different vibe.
Yeah, completely different vibe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was here 3 days after the Notre Dame fire.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah. So just like a lot of energy in this place. And I feel like every time I was attracted to come here, that energy was just almost reinforced in my life as well.
Right.
So yeah, it's cool to have this, to end up here not having spoken French, always wanting to learn and
But the universe brought you here.
Yeah.
Which is
and
wild.
Even coming here brought me closer to the universe.
Yeah.
So it's really been...
I'm thinking, this is my like undiagnosed ADHD brain. I'm thinking about like your timeline of visits too. Like you were here in April 2019.
Well, I came in February for the first time of 2019.
Okay. And then you came again in April.
And then I came again in April.
Did you stay until early May?
No, I was only here for 4 days.
Okay. I missed you by like a couple weeks.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just thinking like, and I was here then and I was here then, like the same, almost the same time, like ships passing and then that kind of vibe.
It's like, our ships have always been in the same sea.
Yeah.
We probably have always seen each other.
Which is nuts. Like, there's so much overlap. And then finally it came together.
We were never at the same port at the same time.
Finally, we docked.
Yeah, like literally everyone. Have you met Dominique? Have you met Jasmine? You guys got to meet.
Yeah, it's so funny.
And then we did. And now.
And then we did.
We and don't now, shut up.
And now we're two girls, one mic. There are technically two mics. Anyway, so you got to Paris for your master's.
Yes.
You're done with your master's.
I am done with my master's. I am a master's girly of international management.
She's a learned.
I went to business school.
She's a scholar.
I'm a scholar. I'm more educated than my older brothers, which is really cool. It's a
big flex.
Yeah.
So you're staying here. What made you want to stay?
For me, I've always been someone who loved to see the world, who loved to travel. I think a lot of my childhood, young adulthood was all about never being in one place for too long. I always loved, you know, seeing, doing things, being everywhere, meeting new people. And I think now moving to Paris and, you know, having this connection to this place was really that I had never felt home anywhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, Boston's a great city and I love it. I can say that now because I left Boston.
Right.
I lived in Colorado and Boulder for 4 or 5 years and it was wonderful and it was a great experience. It just wasn't my place. Boulder's a great city, a great town, and I learned a lot there. I spent a lot of time in South Florida, still never really felt that way about it either. Same with New York. I spent a lot of time in New York City for how close it is to Boston. And it just, I never had that sense of home and the sense of this is my place. And I think a lot of people, I had a lot of friends around me who felt like that. And I just didn't resonate with that. And then there was something about being abroad and traveling and being in the energy in Europe and all this stuff where I was like, that, you know, that TikTok thing where it's like, I could totally move here. Like, I like totally can see myself here, but
should I move here? Yes.
Yes, you should. But yeah, for Paris, it just was one of those things in my life where it not working out was not an option.
Right.
And I think Paris is a city where for people, for it to really work out here, I think you have to have that mentality to an extent that...
You have to have a little toughness.
I think it's not... The city's not built for the weak. And I think the energy and the history of the energy here of being a city of liberation, of revolution, mm-hmm. of uprising. I mean, it's in their constitution. Moving here caused so much of a ripple in my life of... things that I needed to confront, and not only in my personal life, but in my career and in my education and in my relationships. And something about it and going through all of that in this city, it's like me and her, you know, that's our bond. And I'm not
it's us
ready.
Against the world.
Yeah, we're like quite literally, and I'm not ready to give that up.
Yeah.
So it's been a tough couple of months, definitely with 2023. It wasn't easy for anyone. We've talked about this a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Where I am at now and where I'm going is definitely, it is, I've never been so aligned with what feels so right for me.
That's awesome.
In terms of what my heart really wants to do and how I want to show up in the world. And I really credit that a lot, I mean, to myself, but a lot to the space and the place that Paris holds in my life.
The vibes are really right.
The vibes are really right. Yeah. And I really do wish that everyone can find that for themselves. And for some people, it might not be that important, but for the people where environment is really important, I would wish that for everyone, right? To find a place like this.
That Paris feeling is of for home, me. Right? Yeah. Like you're supposed to be here. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. I feel that every day here. Mm. It's crazy.
Yeah. You're and exactly. also for all that's happened for you since you've moved here, I mean,
yeah.
it's definitely a lot of uprising and like changes, but yeah. I feel that, I mean, just as your friend, that you're really on this new path of like awesomeness and development. I mean, we all are.
Yeah, it does feel like everyone's sort of like up-leveling mm-hmm. in a really special way.
Yeah.
But without, like, I don't know, without having to like force anything, I feel more relaxed.
In flow.
Yeah, in the flow. When totally. You,
not to get all woo-woo, but I
no,
will.
No, get all woo-woo, please.
But when you're in alignment with the universe,
yeah,
things really start to flow. I mean, anyone who's lived here and all the expat people, and if you're trying to make Paris your move, you'll realize that the visa system, the government, the bureaucracy is just
0%
chill. And so it's really like, I mean, 2023 was banging my head against a brick wall yeah. and not bleeding. And it was just like, yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways to go with, you know, like in therapy, it really was a lot of having to walk through the fire to just get to the other side. And it was like my therapist was on the other side saying, it's okay, it's okay. It's not going to hurt you. And just it being so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And the fire is never going to burn me. It's never going to hurt me, but it's going to be really hot.
Real sweaty.
Really sweaty, really hot, really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I think that was the last 2023 for me. And on top of that, just visa situations, not being able to find a job, a lot of rejection.
Right.
But on the other side of that, it was getting to this point of deciding to become a freelancer and a micro entrepreneur and yeah. now dealing with all of that visa stuff.
Mm-hmm. A new chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so you're just pronouncing micro-entrepreneur. I can't even do it. Micro-entrepreneur. Yeah. Okay, so you got your master's here. Was it in English?
Yes. The university was in French. It's a French university.
Yes.
And the master's program was an international program in English.
Cool.
So I came to France with no French.
Wow.
Yeah. I tried Duolingo. I tried, you know, all that stuff.
You know, I'm such a stan for Duolingo.
I know. And I really applaud you for it because it just wasn't my thing.
It's not most people's thing, to be honest.
I mean, I want to be a Duolingo girly.
Yeah.
And I really...
Let me guide you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Please be my guide.
Yeah.
What was it, like a 404-day streak that you had?
I'm on 401 right now.
That's super impressive. Oh, could not be me.
I busted it out. There were two Italian people at the bar the other night. And I was like, oh, so I'm put on the one ball. And they were like, what the fuck? And I was like, no.
It's me.
It's me. And I was like,
Dominique.
And he's like, conosco solo cinque frasi. And they were like, no, you speak so well. And I was like, no, conosco cinque frasi con Duolingo. And they were like, oh my God, what? And so I like whipped out Duolingo. And the sentence is like, sono una farfalla. It's
like, okay, but that accent.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much.
Molto bene.
Molto bene, grazie mille. So anyway.
She's really trying to get that Italian passport.
Really getting that passport. Sanguini, like, what is it? Like, oh my God. Anyway, sorry to derail you, but you came here not knowing French.
No.
Now you're a bilingual girly.
Yeah.
I'm giving you a lot of praise.
I mean, delusional girly, fake it till you make it. Sometimes that's just the way.
Yeah.
I'm very blessed to have grown up in a bilingual household, even though I wouldn't say that I am bilingual. I just grew up around another language.
So I should say trilingual girly now. Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. I mean, no. So my mom is from Iran. She's Persian. And her mother tongue is Farsi. And there's a lot of words, even the accent, even though it's an Arabic alphabet.
Right.
The way that it's spoken, I think, is very similar to French.
Interesting.
So
okay.
I have a little bit of an upper hand with that. Right. It took me, I mean, years to really nail the French accent. When I first moved here, it was very much a bonjour.
Yeah, the American accent is hard.
I mean, I didn't even say je m'appelle. I just was like, je suis.
Yeah, no, actually. But I think you can say that, right? Like, moi, je suis Dominique. Or,
Wait. Moi, c'est Dominique. Say, yeah. Moi, je suis Jasmine.
Je suis Jasmine.
I mean, I would say Jasmine. And then people would look like cross-eyed at me.
They're like, not Jasmine?
Jasmine. It's a whole thing.
That's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. We don't have to get into it. Yeah. We need a whole separate podcast for why I'm not Jasmine.
Okay, but the point is, you picked up French like while you were here. So if someone is like, I want to apply, I want to do this, like, I want to go to get my master's.
So there's a lot of master's programs solely in English, and I did my program here, and honestly, I was the only native, I was one of two native English speakers in my program.
Interesting.
Yes, the only American in my, only like, in my, oh my God, I'm, like, now the French is, like, trying to creep in.
Yeah, do it. Full send French.
Yeah. No, I was the only American in my specific program, but there were a few Americans in the international program as a whole.
Okay.
I think there were like 8 different diplomas. And yeah, it was really awesome and really enriching to be getting an international management degree in an international environment and really being able to learn from other countries, other cultures, other people.
That's sick.
Really enriching in that sense. But I helped people with English more in my first year than I did with French. So I really didn't speak or really, catch on to French and probably until about 10 months into my journey when I did a stage, an internship at a French company in English.
Une stagiaire.
Oui.
Wow. Okay. That's like a lot of pressure too, like on the job learning.
Yeah. I don't think I realized it. I definitely had my Emily in Paris moment, as us Americans love to.
Yeah. How many times have you been referred to as Emily in Paris?
More than I can count.
Yeah. 100%.
Especially because I work in marketing and social media. I was a social media manager at a French company.
Yeah.
And I was the only English, I mean, I was a native English speaker on a French team.
Yep.
But they all spoke English, and we had an American team actually based in Boston.
Cool.
So it was really cool, and it was an amazing company, an amazing experience. But yeah, the hardest part was the social aspect of being in a French environment and not being able to connect to many others socially.
Right.
Because even if you work in English, the social aspect in the majority of companies here are in French. So that really pushed me to take French courses, which was great, but it is difficult when you've started to learn and pick up a language and then you have to go back and relearn.
Yeah.
So that's been the most difficult part of my journey so far.
The language in general or having to go back to basics?
Language in general and also, I would say I really started taking the language journey seriously about two years living here.
Okay.
That was after being in a relationship where we did speak some French. Social stuff was in French.
Dating in French is helpful.
Yeah. I mean, you start to pick up, especially in certain environments, how to understand and to speak. And there were some aha moments in language class where you're like, oh, that's what they're saying.
Right.
That's the verb.
Right.
And then with conjugations and sort of sentence structure. And then you have the way that French is spoken. And then
which is totally different than when you learn in a class.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, this is probably said so many times. It just, the hardest part was the relearning and that Virgo rising really comes out.
It really does.
Yeah, she's a perfectionist, baby.
And she's here for some language and some words.
Exactly.
Very Mercury ruled. It just reminded me when you're like, oh, that's what that means. I had this moment the other day where I was thinking about the term that we use in English as well, faux pas.
Mm.
And I'm like, wait a minute, because I've been saying like, faux pas, like, but like in the faux pas, right? Which is different than like there's no pronunciation difference in what I'm about to say. So faux pas, like F-A-U-X-P-A-S, right? Like a false step.
Yeah.
But then in the faux pas, like you shouldn't do that, is F-A-U-T-P-A-S as well. But like it's not step in that case.
But
it's like you shouldn't do that.
Il faut. Like they do.
Like
he does.
No, like il faut faire quelque chose. Oui. Il ne faut pas.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Yeah. So like, that's a totally different word. That's like, you shouldn't do that versus Like those are different. Yeah. I don't know how to explain
No,
this.
No, because they sound, have you, you
they seen sound that? Identical.
No, but you've seen that TikTok where it's like the snake in the, and yeah. does this with the rap in the butt.
It's yeah.
like,
it's like,
no, 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 no,
no, yeah.
Same, but different.
Yeah. So it's like totally spelled different and the words mean different things. Like pa in like one context means step and pa in the other means not. Yeah. And like faux in one is like false, like fausse or faux.
Yeah.
And faux in the other one is like falloir. Like a verb, but it's conjugated to il. Anyway,
but
it sort of means like a faux pas, like you shouldn't do it. Is a false step, but like also in the faux pas. Right. I'm like, which came first?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry for going off the rails.
No, we appreciate the French lesson.
Also, if anyone French is listening to this, please tell me. Like, which one is it? Is it in the faux pas or is it like faux pas? Like
I don't know how to answer.
Yeah.
I couldn't answer that question.
Okay, sick. Anyway.
But I support you in finding that answer.
Thank you. We will dive on a quest of this totally irrelevant, inconsequential topic. It will consume me until I have the answer.
Slug.
Much like color season analysis has consumed every fiber of my being.
Okay, why was everyone so, their panties were in the twist?
I know.
What's
no
up
one,
with that?
No one wants to accept that I have neutral skin tone. But that is
neutral doesn't exist. What are you talking about?
And I was like, I don't want to live in your binary undertone world. Like,
let me be.
Let me exist in the neutral.
I'm an olive skin tone girly. So
you are olive.
I'm
yeah.
very olive.
My mom was like, are you pale olive to me? And I was like, just because Dad's olive doesn't mean I am. No, but like maybe. Who knows? Anyway. Okay, so your language stuff has been more one of the bigger challenges, as well as visas.
Mm.
But we don't have to get into PTSD today. We can keep it moving.
My sternum, and what is it?
It's just tightening. It's tightening.
Yeah.
So that's like just one of the many things that like come with moving to a new country.
Yeah.
How do you feel like you adjusted to living abroad after living what I'm assuming is most of your life in the U.S.?
Yeah. I mean, there's tons of culture shocks. It's funny, I can't think of a ton. It's always when it's in the moment that I mean, I think because I my first sort of sense of culture shock was when I did study abroad.
Mm-hmm.
I like totally
so you got that out of the way a little
bit. I am totally that girl when she studied abroad in college and it was her whole personality.
Mm-hmm.
It is me. I am her. We are one.
You studied in Barcelona.
In Barcelona. No, I went to Prague. Praha. And I totally had an Instagram that was like, Praha. And I was thought it was so original.
Iconic.
Yeah. And then it was like every other girl that did that after me, it was like, you copied me.
I started it.
No. Yeah, I think the biggest culture shock is definitely, I think just the way in which people live their lives and that going out and having casual drinks or like meeting people on any day of the week is a very casual thing, the sort of life balance.
Right.
And not everything is constrained to the weekend.
Yep. And it's not hyper scheduled.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's very, and I think for me, I love to have a plan and I love to know what I'm doing for the weekend. And I think here it is a lot about like, I'm going to wake up Saturday morning and I'll have a loose plan and idea of what we're going to do, but I'm not going to, not this place and at this exact time. And I think in my journey of myself, that was a really good learning lesson to just let go and be very present in the moment.
Yeah.
I think, especially in Prague, I vividly remember, and even here, I have friends who've even said here, PDA is very different in Europe than it is in America. And I remember that being the first culture shock of like being on the escalator going down to the metro and people just like
making
slobbering and like macking. And it was very uncomfortable, that sense of like discomfort of like, I don't know where to look.
Get a room.
Like,
And but that's not a thing.
Yeah, it's not it's not a thing. And that I would say was the biggest culture shock. And I think even Parisians are really nice.
Yeah.
I think that is, you know, sort of cliche of this French
stereotype.
Yeah. I mean, as any big city, there's going to be moody people of cities in France. Paris is a very fast moving one comparatively to other cities.
Yeah.
So there is this sort of like relaxed
vibe.
Yeah,
totally.
But
c'est décontracté.
Ouais.
Yeah.
Exactement. And there's a culture shock. There's so many different culture shocks. I think it definitely depends on where you come from.
Right.
A lot of people do speak English in Paris.
It's true.
So you don't need French, but I definitely encourage always saying a bonjour and then au revoir and merci. And That's very important here.
La politesse.
Yes.
Super important. I don't know if that was a, not culture shock, but just something noticeable.
I think like walking into an elevator and saying bonjour.
Yeah. Or saying au revoir to everyone at Pilates.
Yeah, yeah. Like when you leave the locker room.
Yeah.
I don't even want to say culture shock. It's just culture differences.
For sure. Yeah.
And I think acclimating to that is no one really tells you that.
Right.
It just is sort of like, okay, people do this. And it's just, even like walking around in your gym clothes after a workout or going like, what is it, athleisure?
Yeah, not a thing.
Is not really a thing here.
Basically illegal.
Yeah, yeah. Shame. But there's a whole different vibe to it. Is that like, than it is in the US. And I think it's just lifestyle difference.
Totally.
So that's definitely been the biggest changes in my life. But yeah.
In terms of alcohol consumption, I know this is like kind of a personal topic, so we don't have to go too far into it, but you're like sober curious.
Yeah. Right?
Like currently not drinking. And this is a pretty like alcohol heavy culture.
Yeah. I mean, so I have always, not like an alcoholic, but I have always, I think coming from like a Persian family, we're very
party centric.
Yeah. Persian families love to party. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up around partying a lot, and I've always loved a good, little bevy. And drinking culture in the US is very much like you drink to get drunk. That's not like it everywhere. I think it's also changing a lot, but there is sort of this weird thing when you leave college that you're kind of like, all right, what's an acceptable drinking amount?
Well, also like that's a very dangerous thing that I've noticed with like multiple peers, right? How do I tell the difference between the drinking culture and like actual alcoholism?
Yeah.
It's really dangerous.
I mean, and like, I think there's a lot of people, including myself, who like don't want to have a drink because it's sort of like, it's not that I don't know how to have just one drink, but it's like this mentality of like, if I'm going to have one drink, I might as well have a few and I might as well get drunk. And that's just a mentality difference. Right. And I think that's a cultural thing. That also could just be being in Boston. I mean, I have a lot of friends.
Totally.
Yeah, Boston's a big, what else are you going to do?
Like, yeah, that's literally what I hear from anyone who's been to or lives in Boston.
Yeah, it's a big drinking culture. A lot of the activities that are done socially are drinking.
Sports bars.
Yeah, focused. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really difficult to have boundaries and having a social life and doing things and not drinking and drinking. And I think moving to France was awesome because, well, it was my first time living on my own. And I went from a senior in college to COVID, living at home, not really having much of a social life, to then living on my own in Paris. And things were open here. And I was so excited to meet new friends. And I was 21 when COVID happened. And when I moved here, I was 22.
22 and in Paris, baby.
Yeah. Sing it.
Just so, I'm saying this early. I'm so jealous. Like, you get that song and we got 22 by Taylor Swift.
But still iconic moment.
Honestly, still a bop. Like,
yeah, I was still beep boop bopping that stuff. That song when I was not 22.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I was like, I can't wait to be 22. But now I got Prada, so.
Yeah, you got the goat.
Yeah. I'm not mad about it. But I came to Paris and it was just so, like, I haven't really experienced like bar drinking culture outside of fraternity university culture.
Yeah, true.
So it was really exciting to go out and have, all this, even at my university, we had an apéro, and like that is so bizarre to have like drinking be incorporated with school and your professors and, it was very goofy. So I think that I definitely learned how to, it was definitely had a crazy moment in Paris, as we all do. We're very excited.
As one does.
Going out here is really awesome and it's really fun. And it's very exciting.
Yep.
Great nightlife in the city. Mm-hmm. But I think as, I moved more into university and being a little bit more serious, it was still so fun to like have a casual drink after classes or meeting, going to brunch and just like getting a bottle of wine, but you're not like, let's get plastered and let's get drunk. Right. It was like this sort of adult classy.
You're in your scholar era where I'm just going to have some wine with my dinner.
And that was not anything that I had done before, but more recently, especially with last year and the tumultuous, battle with visa and living abroad and being far from family, there was just a lot of stuff to deal with, and I just love going out and I just love being with people and being social, but I felt like it was really difficult because I didn't want to drink and I didn't want to have alcohol. My body was going through a lot of stuff health-wise and it just, I didn't want to drink and it almost was to a point where I didn't feel good and it was bothering me so much that I would get migraines. I mean, I'm sure you can really empathize
totally
with
relate.
This.
Yes.
Yeah. And my stomach would just be, you know, I wouldn't sleep and it was just all these negative things. And I was going through so much already and I just didn't want, you know, when you are hungover and you do drink, you know, sometimes we can't really gauge what's going to happen when we wake up the next morning. And as we get older, hangovers get worse. You don't sleep as well. And it just, I didn't want to add more bad or negativity into my life into purposely making myself upset or anxious. And I decided to, I also went through a breakup and this was my first, you know, I think real heartbreak. And I was just really sad. And I just wanted to connect with my friends and connect with my community. And I decided, all right, let me give this sober thing a try. And so I was like, all right, 1 month, I'm going to give up alcohol. That was in September. And I haven't really drank since.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You feel good.
Yeah, I feel really good. You know, I still go out. I still stay out. Till, yeah, you know very well. But what really came through I mean, I don't really love to say sobriety because I don't know if this is going to be something forever.
Right. It doesn't have to be. It's fluid.
Yeah. But, you know, this curiosity of it, of putting alcohol on the back burner, is coming back to myself and really realizing, can I swear?
Yeah.
How fucking awesome I am. No, I mean, I think I definitely, you know, we all go through a phase in college where we're a little drunk and we drink and we socialize and it's fun and we party.
No, can't relate. LOL.
Yeah. I mean, whether you've been there or not, but I think that I definitely was a little bit of a party girl in college and I loved that about myself. But it also, I think I shamed a bit of myself.
Oh, totally.
Because of that.
I called myself a human trash can.
Oh my God. Relatable.
Just like full of Dominoes and alcohol.
I mean, but iconic. It like is the fucking moment.
But like we made it through.
Yeah.
Like we survived.
Yeah. And I think that just coming back to, you know, why I like to party and I think that it's okay if you want to. I love music and I love dancing and I love socializing.
It makes you feel alive.
Yeah. And that really is a positive thing in my life. And I wanted to focus on that, the positivity and the good things and the connection. And could that be like? Sober.
Without alcohol.
Yeah,
if alcohol's not adding value,
then
why have it in there?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've really found this girl in me who just loves to socialize, loves to dance. She stays out till 5 in the morning.
She does. I've
she
seen
does.
Her do it.
And she just, I mean, and I do love the fact that no one really knows that I've been, unless they ask. Like, I don't really go around telling people. I always get like a little mocktail or I get a little drink, like a Coke Zero or a ginger ale. And it's not like I'm trying to ploy that I am drinking. It's just like, it's
easy
nobody's.
That way.
It's just, I don't want it to be a thing. And I do, I've been that person where I've been uncomfortable with people who not drinking because it mirrors something back that I can't do. And I don't want that to be something for people. And I just want them to not, I don't know, be self-conscious or.
Totally. That's very considerate of you.
Yeah. I want people to have fun and. And I just want to be an enhancer to that environment for people.
You definitely are. You add to the vibes.
Thank you. So I think being in Paris, it's been fine. I think there was an adjustment of like how many Coke Zeros can I have?
You actually consume, yeah.
Yeah, because then I'm just like, I mean.
Caffeined up.
And I'm just like, it hurts my stomach, the aspartame, whatever fake
lot.
Sugar they put in
I
here.
I can't do the aspartame.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it.
I'm one and done. And so it's like after that, you know, I'm going to want to waterboard myself. But it's nice to have like something in your hand too.
Yeah.
So it's just like finding different, you know, sometimes asking bartenders, like, can you make me a mocktail?
Yeah.
And, you know, even them being, you know, having fun with that. And there's a bunch of cocktail bars that already have sans alcohol.
Sans alcohol. I have been noticing more and more lately the options for mocktails on menus.
Yeah.
It's nice. It kind of annoys me how similar it is in price to the actual alcohol.
Yeah, I'm like, it's just juice.
Baby girl, it's juice.
But you know what? Like, if that is how I can have fun in the night.
Participate socially.
Yeah, like, it's right? We're all hurting together.
Yeah. I mean, I love it anyway. But I think this is such an interesting POV because you don't hear a lot about sober curiosity or an alcohol-free era in a European culture, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you do. I don't know. I haven't personally.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, I've always felt really supported by, I've never felt pressured by people in Paris and by the expat community or French people or any European, well, since living here, really, being like, take a shot, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, if I don't want to, no one's ever going to shame me or judge me for that. And I can't say the same about that in the U.S.
Yeah.
And that's not, you know, maybe that's the environment that I was in, but I definitely do feel that there is sort of like, yeah, this discomfort. And the relationship with alcohol is definitely different in the U.S. than it is here. But I think that you can absolutely still have a really fun time, meet people. I mean, yeah. I've met a lot of men going out, almost even more than ever before, because I think that there's a comfort that I have in myself now.
Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know, the energy and the vibe that I give out of just fun and
being yourself.
Yeah. Being myself and not, you know, trying to drink so that I don't. I mean, yeah, alcohol was definitely at some certain points in my life a coping mechanism.
For sure. Or like a social anxiety lubricant.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's no judgment.
Yep.
You know, we all, I think, experience, we're allowed, you know, whatever.
Do your thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But I agree with what you're saying because obviously I've had my like alcohol-free eras as well. Mm. And going out sober and like learning to navigate that and be comfortable with yourself sober.
Yeah.
Like no, what's the word I'm looking for? Like any kind of substance interfering with like your presence.
Yeah.
I think is a really cool muscle to work.
Yeah. And to be doing it at my age, it feels really awesome. Cause I don't think a lot of people, my age.
I was like, I wish your age.
When I was your age. No, you are still my age.
Thank you.
You're
so
literally
much.
A baby.
Biologically 24.
You are exactly. We're the same age, but yeah, no, I think I really like this for me. And
yeah.
I have one of my best friends in the U.S. is also trying this out as well. We're kind of doing it together. And I think being in support of each other, it's just, it's really awesome. And as like, I'm, you know, my frontal lobe is forming at this age.
I just finished.
I mean, yeah, no one tells women about the age that their frontal lobe forms, that how much changes that the second puberty that we literally go through from like 22 to 26, your body changes, your mind changes, your desires, your likings, like all this stuff.
So many things change. And then apparently menopause rewires your entire brain. So that's a fun thing to look forward to.
At 45, 50, when does that happen?
I hope like never, but
yeah.
Like,
we have many years.
Yeah, we got a little while. But I love that you've been able to navigate both like the concept of like alcohol for your sobriety, whatever you want to call it, but also like just being happy and comfortable with yourself and still being extroverted and social in a new country. In a new language, with new people. Like, that's so many things at once. So, like, please give yourself credit for that.
Thank you. And I do. And I'm
good.
Okay. Covering my heart right now.
Yes.
Because, I do feel that. And I think with all of that, I mean, yeah, it wasn't easy. It wasn't hard. I mean, it was very hard. It was very difficult. But I think all of that happened so that I could get to this point in my life to really, you know, move through my heart center. And that's just my divine path and the universe's plan or whatever.
Yes.
And really what is in alignment for me. And, you know, this new journey that I'm about to embark on for my career is definitely really aligned with that.
Let's talk about that too.
Yeah.
I also am like alignment or aliged could be like your secondary word besides juicy.
Oh, yeah.
For 2024. So you really are in alignment.
I feel that. And I mean, even when I was saying, you know, banging my head against a brick wall.
Yeah. I'm still hurting from that.
Yeah. Me too. I got a bruise. I got a welt.
Yeah.
But really, when you, and we talked about this a lot, when you surrender to everything, I mean, there was a moment a month ago where I was fully going to leave Paris because I just, what I wanted so badly was a CDI. I wanted a French company to hire me.
A secure job contract, yes, from the government, which you basically like can never get fired.
Yeah. And it, I mean, it gives you a lot of security in France. And security has never been something for me. I've never longed for that. Mm-hmm. I think I find security in different ways than the physical.
Right.
And
that's a real skill.
Yeah. Yeah. And
BTW.
I think that there's, you know, how for some people, there's certain things that are meant for people and there's certain things that aren't. And I think that one of that is not meant for me.
Yeah.
And when I could accept that and surrender to it and really let go of this grasp that I was holding onto, this only idea that Paris could be, I mean, things just started happening.
Falling into place.
Yeah. I mean, I had a crazy experience. I mean, we can talk about this another time, of the synchronicities and the universe telling you things and the people and all this stuff. But I got an opportunity, a freelance opportunity. And part of the opportunity was going and leaving the country for a bit. But it was a job opportunity in France. And this required me to become a freelancer. And becoming a freelancer, you need to go through all the steps, kind of like setting up an LLC in the US. Mm-hmm. You do something like that here in France.
Except in the US, it takes like 24 hours.
Yeah. Here it takes 8 to 15 weeks.
Yeah.
But what ended up happening to me is that when I decided to go on this path, things just started happening. I set up my business in 3 weeks.
That's nuts.
It's insane. And yeah. Working in social media and marketing and all that stuff, and you can definitely relate that it's becoming a very saturated market. Mm-hmm. It's not entirely what I want to do and what makes me happy, but it pays the bills.
Right.
And I'm pretty good at it.
You're really good at it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm trying.
Girl, you're so for real right now.
But I think developing that to be the main core of like my business here and how I can stay in France has been the biggest flow of everything. And being able to do that allows me to then pursue what I really want to do, which is working and coaching women, mm-hmm, and using tools like moonology, astrology, mm-hmm, tarot, human design, mm-hmm, and working with the moon and its cycles and the phases and the planets and all that I've learned in my life and the lessons that I've learned in the way that I can connect with people and empathize and I guess also verbalize a lot of things, mm-hmm, is just so fulfilling to me. And to be able to empower and work with others is just something really exciting for me on the horizon. So this is what is happening for me in 2024.
Yeah.
And the certifications and new learning and
she's using me as a beta.
Yeah, yeah, she's my guinea pig.
And it's working.
Yeah, and just being able to work together and see how the potential and the alignment and how, you know, you know so much about astrology and all this stuff and really honing that in to the stuff that you feel and connect with, mm-hmm, with also all the experiences that you're going through and also some of these, you know, more so conventional aspects of psychology and mental health and, you know, connecting with the body. Yeah,
right?
like somatic.
I love somatic healing. But we did an episode on somatic healing as well. It's one of my favorite practices. And I love the way that you're able to blend these different modalities into a more holistic coaching. It's sort of like mind, body, spirit.
Yeah. So 2025 Jazz, she's going to be a coach.
Yeah.
A mind, body, mental health coach. And my goal is to create a sort of program that lasts a year long that is working. I'd love to work with women first, definitely for empowerment and for guidance and to find their true heart's desire.
Yeah.
And working with a group of maybe 12, 15, 20 women, we meet twice a month. We do collective full moon and new moon circles and then coaching with also group, sort of like collective modalities. So I'm really manifesting that in this year and also for it to begin in 2025.
So excited for you.
Thank
and also
you.
So hyped because I'm like, yeah, circles.
whoa.
Just like cupping hands around your mouth like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exciting.
And you're doing that here in Paris.
Here in
with
Paris.
With the magic.
With the magic and just the flow and the energy and just trusting the universe.
Yeah.
And being so supported and held by women like you.
Thank you.
And the women in this community and all the other girlies out there that are just trying to do their best and also live a fulfilled, enriching life.
Yeah. I feel like that's a theme with everyone we know here.
Mm.
You come here because you want to live, like really live. Like you're not just working and like going through the motions and like focusing on a goal or whatever it is. Like you feel life.
Mm.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Cool, 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 cool.
No, I think that, like we said, space and place and environment
mm-hmm.
can really have an impact on people.
Yeah.
And energies are so rooted in cities and towns, especially historic histories. And so, for example, like Berlin mm-hmm. was a very hard city for me to be in energetically.
Yeah.
For other people, it's a very energetic, eclectic.
Enlivening.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for, it's just Paris, some people don't like Paris.
It's so true. It's not for everyone.
Exactly. It's a very heavy, overwhelming energy here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you feel unfulfilled or you're questioning some things, even tapping into like your gut or like scanning your body and seeing how you feel in the place that you're in and the people around you. I mean, a lot of what it was for me was community mm-hmm. and being able to find a community that I could empathize with mm-hmm. interests and sort of this like understanding and longing for speaking a different language and wanting to travel and that enrichment, which I had always had this hole. And even now, finding women that are older than me who have, like, are kind of veterans of life to learn from and sort of pass down their knowledge is really important to me right now.
Yeah.
And enriching those relationships that I've been able to find here and all over and with traveling through Europe is just a really big priority. And for some reason, that was really hard for me to get while living in the U.S.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean others can't find that. It's just...
You got to find the space that you vibe with where you feel in alignment, like the way Jasmine feels in Paris, the way I feel in Paris.
Exactly.
Like, you just got to figure that out. No one can tell you where it is.
And also when you decided to move here, how that just happened.
It just happened, which is crazy. So like anyone who listened to that episode with Amanda and Morgan convincing me in that, in the episode in real time, basically.
Yeah.
It all just fell into place very, very, very quickly. In a way that was like, okay, this is on purpose.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be happening. And if you don't walk through this door that has opened for you, that doesn't open for everyone, that's going to be a big life regret.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so proud of you for doing that.
Thanks, girl.
That is like a really big step. I'm so proud of all of us, all the girls that, and every, you know, and men too, all the.
The boys can join too.
Yeah. I mean, anyone.
The girls, the gays, the theys, and the boys.
And everyone in between.
Yep.
No, I think that it takes a lot to look inward and be like, I'm not happy. I don't feel fulfilled. And, you know, that might be a job. It might be mm-hmm. a relationship. It might be the apartment you live in,
mm-hmm.
or maybe it's even the place you live in.
Yeah.
And I think if there's anything to take away from anything we said is that you are not stuck.
Yeah.
And you are not confined to the constraints that you are currently in.
Or the formula that's been prescribed for you by your family or your culture or where you grew up or what's been told to you by society. I will say, I don't think I was like escaping any kind of unhappiness or like not feeling at home. Like I actually really felt at home in San Diego, but there was something that was off. So like if someone listening to this is like, well, I'm actually happy, but there's something missing or you know there's something more.
Yeah.
You know that you could feel more, experience more, or like really live more.
Mm.
Like you want to feel more alive. Like that's what this has felt like to me. Like I feel more alive.
Yeah. And also I think even making that decision when you're like, well, this is great and I have a happy life and mm-hmm. you know, it's pretty good, but there is this like little thing that is sort of in the back, like in my peripheral.
Yeah, it's like tugging.
Yeah, and it's like I could ignore it. Mm-hmm. I could not look at it. And I think there's a lot of fear behind that too of like, what if I make this decision and it was a wrong decision? And something I've been loving that I learned in my year, that I learned from my brothers, that I learned from my peers, that I've been sharing with all of the girlies close to me and everyone, and even I'm going to share with the people listening to this, is that nothing is permanent.
It's the best advice.
You can decide to move here and be here for 1 week.
Yep.
And you can have the answer within you right away.
Yep.
And you can just go back.
It'll be a pain in the ass. It might be expensive, but it's not permanent.
But it's not permanent. And I think that there is, at least for me, never doing the thing and always wondering what if.
Yep.
It's something I can't live with.
That's excruciating.
It's really uncomfortable. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, I think we all go through this thing of like when we're young and am I going to regret it? And am I doing enough things right now? And, you know, I'm running out of time and there's all this stuff. And it's just like, just show up. Just make the decision you have to make right now.
Yep.
Be as present as possible. And that no matter what, in any decision that you make, nothing is permanent and you're allowed to change your mind.
So true. I think, I don't know if you relate to this as a Virgo rising, all decisions that I make, I put way too much weight on them as if they were permanent or not malleable, right?
Yeah.
So honestly, that's some of the best advice you could give anyone, especially people who are considering moving abroad, which is who I'm hoping might be listening to this series. Yeah. So to kind of wrap it up, either we can leave it with your favorite things about Paris, besides the vibe that we've talked about at length, or what you would tell yourself pre-Paris move about what she has to look forward to. Or both. You can do whatever you want. It's your world.
Pre-Paris.
Pre-Paris jazz.
Jazz, yeah.
What does she have to look forward to?
Oh my God. The most transformational embarking of her life. I think that jazz was just longing for so much. I think in relationships and in life and career. And I think that it's just everything that she decided to do and everything that she did is the right decision. And I think she's just awesome at every single point and at every single, you know, position and part that she's been in and every version that has shown up. She's great. And I think I held a lot of things and was just so like, oh my God, judgy and shameful and, yeah, like you do end up speaking French at some point. Like it's
you
not.
You will learn it.
Yeah, you will learn it. It's not as quick as you thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the best thing I would tell anyone first moving here is that it's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
This is a marathon.
Yes.
Reserve your energy. Saying no, holding boundaries is okay. Just because you don't go to that one event, it's not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes relationships end. Sometimes people are meant to come through your life and exit through, and that's okay. And yeah, you're going to be made fun of all the time.
Every day.
It's okay to be an American.
Yeah.
It's okay to feel really proud of speaking English and wanting to speak English. And it's also really okay not wanting to speak English and really wanting to force through the French. And there's going to be so many French guys that are going to want to take you out on a date. If he's not treating you right and he's just, you don't get a good vibe from it, ça va.
Yeah.
And
prochaine.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, all you have is yourself. And if you can just be happy and love her, you'll be okay. And I'm really happy and proud of the person that I've become. So I don't even know if I answered the question.
You did answer the question. It's beautiful.
I got kind of lost in the sauce.
That's what I say too. No, it was perfect. And I think anyone listening, like, that's a beautiful message to take home too. Like, yeah, you might enter a new era, but like loving every version of yourself and being excited for your future while holding space for the past versions of you too, I think is so special.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on this podcast.
No. Thank you. No, but for real, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Like so serious. No. Thank you. Thank you. No, Jasmine, this was awesome. I think all of us got a little bit of a coaching session unintentionally wrapped into this. Thank you for the giggles. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for teaching me some French. We love you so much.
Thank you for teaching me French.
I think I more was teaching you Italian.
Molto bene.
Molto bene.
Every single time Italian, I'm like, che cazzo.
Oh my God.
Maybe cut that out.
Oh my gosh. We love you. Thank you for being here. If people want to connect with you online, we have linked all of your socials, whether you like it or not, in the episode description.
Thank you for that. Please connect. Please reach out. I love talking and meeting new people. And I am here for all of you people and girlies, theys, them, guys, all of it in between.
All the above.
I'm here for you if you just have any questions or want to reach out or are interested in coaching and moon stuff.
Moon stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, we love you. Thank you.
We love you. I love you.
All right, I'm hoping today gave you another fresh perspective and POV from someone who isn't me in Paris, though I can certainly record an update episode if you'd like. You can request what episodes we record next by sending us an email, imfine@thisisfinepodcast.com, or by sliding into the DMs as per usual. I'm on TikTok more than Instagram these days. Happy romance season. I hope you're in love with life and feeling the sparkly first blush of February. I love you all. Big hugs. Gros bisous. We'll see you here next week for even more romance. Wink, wink. A bientôt. Bye. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of This Is Fine. I've been your host, Dominique Michelle Astorino. We're based in San Diego, recording in studio at DLI Productions in
Paris,
Pacific Beach with Emmy Award-winning sound designer Dan De La Isla. This is a comedy and advice podcast, but for legal reasons, this entire podcast is a joke and none of it is medical advice. To download the transcript or learn more, visit thisisfinepodcast.com.